the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua.
Thank God for the privilege of coming your way again today, listeners, and to bring the word of the Lord to you. Once again, we've been coming to present the issues as we see them in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, the first principles of the oracles of God. There are seven of them. We are treating the last one, eternal judgment. We've been on this for some weeks now. These are weighty matters, so we are spending more time to be able to get through at least a reasonable level of understanding on this very, very important issue of the scriptures. So let's start again today by reading Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, and not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. We thank God for giving us the privilege and the opportunity to look at this. He's permitting us to see the word so that we can be changed by the word. And last week, we looked at one of the parables, parable of the talents. We can see God's judgment, eternal judgment, on the parables that were given by the Lord, that these parables were meant to convey to us some of these issues and issues of God's eternal judgment. So we look at the parable of the talent last week. We are going to look at the parable of pounds today. And so I want us to go to Luke chapter 19 from verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in napping. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that layest not down, and reapest thou that is not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I may have required my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and gave it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone that hath shall be given, and for him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. For those my enemies which would not that I reign over them, bring them and slay them before me. So we see this parable is similar to the one we looked at last week, the parable of talents. The one that were given 5 and the one that was given 2 and the one that was given 1. The difference is this 10 pounds was given. We can see from this scripture that the master called 10 of them. I gave them 1 pound each. And then in this record, we only have 3 of them highlighted for us to confirm what is the heart of the Lord to us. So the first one came and said, Lord, well, you gave me 1 and I have worked and now I have 10 pounds. And the Lord was happy and the Lord commended him. And then the other one that was given 5 also came and said, Lord, you gave me 1 and now I have gained another 5. And the Lord also commended him and for having done so well. And then the Lord said, because you have been faithful, you gain 10, I will make you to rule over 10 cities. And then you have gained 5, I will make you to rule over 5 cities as well. So we see again, one thing being confirmed to us, that our service here is just a prelude. It's just an introduction to our service in eternity. What we do here will determine what level of authority God will give unto us in the world to come, in His kingdom. And so we see here they have been given this opportunity to serve again. And I pray that the Lord will help all of us, that we will so serve the Lord, so that we will qualify ourselves by His grace to serve Him in the world to come. Not only to serve Him, but to be given authority in His kingdom to serve Him. Then again, we see the third one who came and said, well, Lord, I know you are a very hard man. You reap where you do not sow. You are an austere man, and I'm afraid of you. And therefore, I've kept 1 pound, and here again is your pound. And we see that the Lord also called him a wicked servant, just the same way that he spoke to the other servant in the parable of the talents. So we see if he called this one also a wicked man, we can then conclude that he must have sent him also, even though that is not expressly expressed here, but we can see that it's clear to us that this man also was sent to an outer darkness. Why? Because he also was called wicked. Now, we see here the issue of outer darkness. Last week, we looked at this issue of outer darkness in the parable of the talents. And we have looked at other scriptures where we see that the sons of the kingdom, the daughters of the kingdom, the servants of God are sent to this outer darkness for their failure to please their master. So, remember that we are dealing with the issue of eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. So we're looking at this scripture in the light of this issue here, the issue of eternal judgment. So we said last week that we ought to be able to answer, what is this place of outer darkness? What is this place of outer darkness? And I think in order for us to understand this, we need to look at another parable, because we will see that scriptures, we always interpret themselves. So for us to understand, we will have to look at other parables and contrast them with the one we have looked at before. And therefore, please, let's go again today to Matthew chapter 13. We are going to be looking at another parable there. We are going to look at this parable, different, but it's communicating something quite different to us. Now let's start from verse 24. This parable. It said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we see this parable here. Then the explanation was given in verse 37. So let's go to verse 37 because there's an explanation. He answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed, he's the Son of Man. That's the Lord himself. That's an explanation of the parable we have read in Matthew 13, verse 24. So it's given understanding here. It says, he that sowed the good seed, he's the Son of Man. The field is the word. Please note here that the field is not the church. Because so many people argue that in the church, he said, let them grow together, tares and the wheat. That is not true. So he said, the field is the word. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So we see there are two groups of people in this world. They are the seed of God, the seed, the children of the kingdom of God, and those who are the seed of Satan, the seed of the wicked one. This is important that we must understand that at a particular point in history when men slept, the enemy came and sowed his own tears and have his own people too in this world. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. We also know that the time of the harvest is also the end of the world, the end of the age. So this is important that we understand that. Verse 40, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angel, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we see here some differences now. We see here that this one is talking about two groups of people, the children of the kingdom and the children of the wicked one. So, and we have explained that to us, that in this world, Satan succeeded in sowing his own seed, in having his own people too, who are considered or described as the children of the wicked one. And he says, but the children of the righteous, they are the seed that the Lord himself has sown. These are in the world, not in the church. The church ought to be the house of God. The church ought to be a holy people. Jesus is talking about the church that he builds. It's not the world. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. The church that the apostles built, the Bible says nobody does join himself to them because they saw the glory and the power of God in them. So, until the church fell and iniquity came into the church and the church has become like the world. That was not how God planned it. They were seeing the falling away of the church, and the church has embraced the world, and the world has embraced the church. So it is the good seed should be in the church, and the tares should be outside the church. But in the world, they are to coexist. That's what Paul also saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, I'm not talking about the extortioner and fornicators of this world. But if any brother that calls himself a brother or a sister should not be in the church and continue that way, kick out that wicked one so that he can go and repent. That's how the apostles look at the church. It's the bride of Christ. It's a sacred place, a holy place. Nobody joined themselves to them. The Bible says God was adding to the church such as should be saved. We've done the teaching on all this in the past. Trust that we can recall them. So now we see here, but here the Lord is saying in this parable, these people here were not sent to a place of outer darkness where there's the gnashing and weeping, but they are sent to where? We see there, the Son of Man shall send forth his angel, I'm reading verse 1, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of what? Of fire. So we see here the difference. This one, furnace of fire. The same weeping and gnashing of teeth, but furnace of fire. Also want you to note here that in this parable, it says the wicked and those who do shall be gathered first. They shall be gathered together into bundles. And that is in verse 30. And gather them together, but the wheat will be gathered. Now, if you look at the scriptures, you will see that when the Lord talks about coming for his people, We shared this before. When the Lord will come, His first coming is coming to take to Himself His people of Christ. So we see the Lord comes for His people first. He takes His people out of this world, out of this sinful world. That's the first thing. When the Lord comes at His second coming, His coming is to take His people out of this world. It's to take His people to Himself. Now, but in this parable, He's talking about not taking them, but He's talking about gathering the wicked, those who do iniquity, out of them. You see the difference? The difference is the first one, the coming of the Lord, is to take His people out. This one is to take the wicked out. We must understand something here, which is very important that we understand. Now, we can see, as we go on, it says, this harvest is the end of the world. Now, I want you to look at verse 35. Why is it that the Lord was giving this parable? We see the purpose of the parable is in verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So these parables are meant to bring forth things that have been kept secret before the foundation of the world. And I hope that these parables are unveiling to us and revealing something that is very, very important. Remember, he said that this parable will be fully experienced at the time of the harvest, the final harvest, which is important. We'll talk about that a little bit. The Lord also says something here in this parable. He said, the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. There's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of their Father or the kingdom of God. The word, the kingdom of heaven, means the rule of God here on earth. As we see now, those who give their life to Christ, those who are following God, they are experiencing the kingdom of God even in the midst of this crooked world. That's the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is not talking about a situation where God is totally ruling, but it's talking about a situation where some are obeying God. And like he said, we should pray that kingdom come. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not in power. And all. So the kingdom of God as it is now, it is a kingdom of heaven. It is that the rule of heaven where it is allowed. But the time will come when it will become totally the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When God will have subdued all rules and all principality and everything will go back to the way it ought to be. Or the way, yeah, God has envisioned it to be. I hope you are able to follow this. Now, the question that is still agitating our mind is this. That, okay, what is the outer darkness? These servants of God, these sons of the kingdom, these children of God are sent to outer darkness, and these ones, the tears, are sent to where? Hell. We can see now that the wicked, the sons and the daughters of the wicked, they are sent to hell. Hell. Fire. But we're not told that the sons of the kingdom, the daughters of the kingdom, and the servants are sent to hell. They are only sent to where? Outer darkness. Then, that's understand. What the scripture is showing is this. The outer darkness is these ones are shut out during the period of the 1,000 reign of Christ. That's the outer darkness. That's when they are shut out. Because why? They have not lived right. They have not done what they ought to do. There's no way they will be given room to reign and to rule with Christ for that 1,000 year of His reign. That's why He said to them, those who have done well, He said, I give to you to rule over 10 cities. I give to you to rule over 5 cities. And this and that. Because during the millennial reign, those who have followed the Lord, the Lamb, whithersoever He goes and have overcome, those are the ones that will be given the privilege to reign and to rule with Him during the 1,000 year. It's not for everybody. So to be shut out during that period of the kingdom of God, to be shut out for that 1,000 year is what the Lord is referring to as outer darkness. You understand? That's why He talks about the man who did not have the garment, because it is the bride of Christ. It's those who are qualified that will sit with Him in that reign here on earth, when He will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years on the seat of David. That is the kingdom of God made manifest in another dimension. Until the final, after the 1,000 year, when all rule and all dominion will have been brought down and everything will return to the way God had planned it to be. So what it then says is this, that if you as a Christian, you are born again, like all that we are saying, you remain here, wood and stubble, or you remain unfaithful, you are given opportunity to serve, you are given talents, you are given this, that, and you refuse to live for God, you refuse to judge yourself, you are simply shutting yourself out of the 1,000 year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what is called outer darkness, where you gnash your teeth. In darkness is then that you are not in the light. You are in the background. You are shut up. And you are not in the limelight. Because the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, is for the overcomers. It's for those who have followed him and they have overcome their flesh. They have become what he also is. Because when we shall see him, we shall be like him. Certainly, you can see that it's not every Christian that will going to be part of that reign. It's not every Christian that will be part of his bride. He said it's meant for the overcomers. Those who overcome. Be that heart here. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church or to the churches. Because it's the only the overcomers that will sit with him. If you are born again, you are not living your life, you are not overcoming, you are not being faithful, you are not being faithful to your opportunities, to endowment, to the gifts that God has given to you. Please, I want you to know that you do not own yourself. All that God has given, whether they be natural giftings, natural endowment, or spiritual endowment, you are going to give account. Those servants of God who are fighting one another and kicking one another and speaking evil of one another, they are going to find themselves where? At the outer darkness. Those who have been given opportunity to do one thing or the other, and they are wasting their time, and they are misusing it, and they are abusing it, and they are living as if they are not going to be accountable to the master at all. That's what he's saying. Those who will not live by faith. Jesus said many will come from the east, from the west, and they will see Abraham. Because during that millennial reign of Christ, Abraham and all the Old Testament saying they will be there. They are going to be part of that kingdom. And then he said you will see them, and then you will see that you are shut out. This is the teaching of the scriptures. And as we move on, we trust the Lord to keep unfolding and unfolding this for us. That's why the difference between this parable and all other parables that we have been thinking. In verse 41 of this Matthew 13, it says, all things that offend and all things that do iniquity. At this time, God is guarding out. You know, this is different from his curse coming to take his own people out. This one is that he's establishing his kingdom and he's taking people out. He's taking the wicked and all those who do iniquity out. Because why? He's putting down all rule and all dominion and all authority to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. So there's a need to take away anything that will offend, anything that will do iniquity, and take them away. Whereas his second coming, that is coming for his overcomer, we have taught that here, it's not just coming for everybody. It's not rapture the way it's been taught to me that every believer, once you are born again. No. We are shown to you that it's coming for those who are Christ, those who have crucified the flesh at his coming. And it's coming for the overcomer. His first coming is come for these overcomers who will reign and rule with him. And so this is the issue here. At that point, the judgment seat of Christ will be displayed, and those who do not qualify to be part of that will be sent to the outer court, where they will regret for another 1,000 years. This is the truth. I encourage you, I suggest to you, listeners, that you check the scriptures, you look at the scriptures. Scriptures are very clear and they are very true if we look at them with the eyes of understanding. So that's why it is important to have clear understanding of the truth and the scripture. We trust that you have been blessed again today. We trust that the word of God is coming to you in its purity and power to be a blessing to you. We challenge again. Go look at the scriptures. Go look at the things that we have shared with you today and compare them and look at them. But more importantly, please go to the Lord and pray and ask the Lord to shine light, his light upon his word. Ask the Lord question. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is meant to be our teacher. It's meant to teach you deep things of the Spirit of God. Jesus said it's meant to be given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For every child of God. But you must pay the price of seeking. You must pay the price of asking. You must pay the price of being in the presence of God, so that he can teach you, he can unveil to you the mystery of his word. That's why we must not play churchianity. We must not play churchianity and Christianity. We must not play religion. Just go to church. Every Sunday we go to church and we just close our Bible and we're just waiting for somebody to teach us 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, or 30 minutes or 1 hour, and that's all our Christianity. Waiting for another Sunday. That's not Christianity. That's shaddishness. That's playing religion. You will never arrive to mature to the place God has ordained for you if that is kind of Christian life that you live. I ask the Lord to bless you. I ask that the things you are hearing will challenge you to seek him more, so that you can have more of him, and so he can have you. to himself. God bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power.